Hi there. Thanks for joining us as we unpack the series titled, This Is That. Have you ever wondered about the Holy Spirit? Well, this sermon is for you. Pastor Carl and Pastor Henry share an amazing word about the Holy Spirit, the person, the presence, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's dive in and gear up for Pentecost Sunday.
Hey, we're going to talk about the Holy Ghost. We're in a series called This Is That. This Is That. That's what Peter said when the Holy Ghost fell and everybody got whacked. Say whacked. They got whacked in the Holy Ghost. They fell out of the room. Everybody thought they were drunk. But he didn't say they're not drunk. He said they're not drunk like you think. They're whacked. They're out of it. They're under the control of a foreign substance. But he said, you know, they are baptized. They are saturated with the Holy Ghost. This is what was told the prophet Joel, that the Holy Spirit would fall upon God's people in these last days. And what you see is what happens when the Holy Spirit inhabits the life of people. This is that. Amen. So we're going to continue with This Is That. I want to talk to you about some more stuff. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, Jesus' last words. How many think last words are a little bit important? We hear, but these were the last words, special words. I mean, you know, if you are leaving behind a group of people to continue your legacy, I want you to continue my legacy. I am going to hand to you the responsibility to finish the job that we started. My last opportunity to speak with you, my last opportunity to encourage you are going to be very special words. Well, here's Jesus' last words. He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. Say promise. It's a promise of the Father. It also says it's the blessing of the Father. The power, the dunamis, the Greek word dunamis, the power of God, it's inherent power. Say inherent. Inherent means it is permanent. Inherent means it's something that you inherit. It's something that is yours forever. Now here's the thing about an inheritance. You can have an inheritance, it can be legally be yours, but it is not yours if you don't put a demand on it. So two things for an inheritance to be manifest is you gotta understand that legally it's yours, but then you have to say, I'm gonna draw on that now, and I'm gonna take that inheritance and I'm gonna make it mine. And see, the Holy Spirit was given to you as the blessing of the Father and the inheritance from above. And you, he has invested in you, the third person of the Godhead. Holy Spirit has taken up residence in your life permanently. He doesn't come and go. It's not the warm fuzzy in the room. It's a person of the Godhead who made you his address. Do you know where God lives right now? He lives at 100 Carl Thomas Way. He's right here in my belly. Say hello, Holy Ghost.
Hello.
He really is right here. He doesn't come and go. He's not fickle. He's not sensitive, but he's made you his permanent address. It's a true story. He said, wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you've heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Now, there's three baptisms that are essential for a full initiation of a child of God. Number one, you're baptized into the body of Christ. The believer is baptized into the body of Christ. The Spirit baptizes you into the body of Christ. The Spirit is the baptizer. What you're baptized into is the body. So a believer is baptized by the Spirit into the body. Do you follow me? Second, a disciple is baptized in water with the congregation. So a believer accepts, announces that I align myself with the revelation of God's good news. I accept his forgiveness. I accept that I am a child of God. I accept that. Then you're baptized in water, and that is you. And the substance is the water, and the baptizers are the body of Christ, other disciples. The third one is Jesus is the baptizer. These are all very clear. This is grammar. Now, if I said Fred is going to the store to get a bag of dill pickle Lays. Gotta have it. So who's doing it? Fred's doing it. What's he doing? He's going to get dill pickle Lays. He's going to get it for me. Very simple grammar. Jesus is the baptizer. Jesus. And what is he going to baptize the believer in? He's going to baptize the believer in the Holy Spirit. So those are very, very different experiences. And all three of those experiences are essential for a believer to be initiated. Now, some people say, it's all the same. You Pentecostals and charismatics, you're all confused. It's just, there's just coming together with Christ. There's union with Christ. And it's all different ways of explaining it, but it's all the same. And then there's some who say that when we got the Bible canonized, when about 300 years after his death, we found all the scriptures and decided these are the Bible. Once we got the Bible, we didn't need extra activity of the Holy Ghost. We didn't need all that stuff because now we have Father, Son, and Holy Book. And that's really what they did. It's called cessationism. It's a false doctrine. And they say, so we don't need the Holy Ghost today, which is rubbish. Just telling you. All right? And you'll know it's rubbish if you had simple grade 5 grammar. Baptizo is to submerge, to immerse, to pickle, to saturate, to cause a permanent change, not to dip, but to be saturated with the nature, the ability of Christ to fulfill his purpose in the earth. So he has prepared you from before the foundation of the world that you are a container that was created in the image of God so that he could fill you, saturate you, and use you to fulfill his purpose in this day. You are, I know we just sang a song, you reign above it all, you reign above it all, but here's the thing, he reigns above it all so that you could be seated with him, so that you could now reign in and through him. Romans 5:17, those who have received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life. So you, Revelation, it says he's made us to be kings and priests. So he's reigning above it all so that you can reign above it all. He did all that he did so he could say it's your turn. You are a king. You are in charge. You reign in life. Can I get an amen from the back row? That's the truth. See, now, I'm not struggling. I'm not under the circumstances. I'm not a victim of whatever's going on in the world. I have been given power and I have been given authority to bring God's kingdom into manifestation no matter where I am. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of all. He is the name above every name, and I've been given that name. I've been given the name of Jesus to use that name to bring his kingdom into manifest because I am a king and I got power and I got authority and I know what to do with it. So that's who we are. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a smearing of you. It is the change of address of God so that the whole New Testament, Old Testament, the difference between the two covenants is the location of God. He wasn't a little box. He was worshiped. There was a pillar of smoke and fire, but now he's not in a little box. He's out. The curtain is rent. Now God doesn't live in boxes. He lives in us. He finds his dwelling place in the body of Christ. And so you're powerful. You're powerful. You're powerful. All right, practice of the early church. Well, show me that somewhere else in the Bible, this threefold experience. I want to see that. All right, thank you for asking. Philip was a deacon. Philip went and started doing a revival service amongst the Samaritans. So imagine the Samaritans. What is he doing that? The Samaritans, we don't even like the Samaritans. But Philip pops up the road and he has a special meeting. He's there, he's preaching, and a whole crowd of people came. They all repented, they all accepted the word of the kingdom. They embraced the good news, and it says they all believed. One of the guys was a guy named Simon. Now, Simon was a spiritual guy. He was a spiritual guru in their circle. He was a guy who could do some supernatural stuff, and people looked to him for wisdom, and he had influence and power in that area. But this guy, when he saw what Philip was doing, he became a believer in what Philip said. He changed allegiance from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, and he became a believer. Can he get a hallelujah? So that's what happened. There's number one. Say one. Number one, he became a believer. And then when he was baptized, say number two. Number two, he was baptized in water. So he was a believer, and he was baptized in water. He continued with Philip, and he was amazed seeing the miracles and the signs and the wonders that were done. So what is he amazed at? Signs and wonders and miracles. People are being healed. There's a manifestation of the power of God. And this guy who operated in spiritual practices is seeing somebody moving in superior power. And he's like, wow. I sucked in too much air there and just about choked myself. He believed and he was baptized. Say one. Believed. Two. He was baptized. All right. So Philip's there. He's enjoying that. Miracles are taking place. Now the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God. They sent Peter and John. They sent two apostles, Peter and John. Peter and John, when they came down, they prayed with them that they might believers baptized in water, one, two, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Three. Prayed for them, For as it had yet not fallen upon them, they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Do you see that? Does anybody see that? One, two, three. There's a threefold experience to a fully initiated believer. Now in the Bible, they didn't, came to Jesus. Then I did a 40-week catechism at the church because they wanted to make sure I really believed. Then I got baptized. And then I hung around a little while later, found out the church didn't believe in the Holy Ghost, and went to another church, got whacked in the Holy Ghost 3 years later. That's not the way it worked in the early church. In the early church, same day, boom, 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 got you fully initiated. All right. But we're full of the Holy Spirit, so he leads us into all truth. I didn't have to go to seminary to figure that one out. All right. Acts chapter 19, verse 2. Let me stay with Acts chapter 8 for a second. I don't have it on the screen. But Simon the sorcerer, when he saw the miracles, he was amazed. When he saw everything, he was amazed. But when the apostles came and laid their hands on him, if you read your scripture, read the rest, next chapter, or next verses after what I read, it says that he said, could I buy that off you? Can I buy that off you? Listen, he saw, say saw. He saw what happened when the apostles laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. When he saw the miracles, didn't ask to purchase that. When he saw the signs and wonders, didn't ask to purchase that. When he saw people healed at the revivals, didn't ask to purchase that. But when he saw the apostles lay their hands on them and receive the Holy Spirit, he went, now that I would pay for. Something happened to those people when they were baptized in the Holy Spirit that Simon, who was a guy who dabbled in spiritual things, said, what you just did there, I would love to be able to do, because what I saw happen to those people, I'd pay for that. Do you follow me? There's something really significant about being baptized in the Holy Ghost that I think, sadly, many, many churches have thought it's not really that important, or those charismatics have got it wrong. We don't got it wrong. We have it terribly right. And it's very important. Don't make me come down there. I can use the steps. John 7, 37, this is that. You ready? John 7, 37, this is that. He said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Say drink. Say drink. Say drink. Say I need a drink. It says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Now what this was is in John chapter 7, what you have is you have one of the big conventions of the Hebrew people. And this is one of their big feasts that they had to come back. And this was the greatest day of the feast. And what happened at this feast was you got the temple. They would bring these huge jars, big, huge jars full of water. And on the last day of the feast, they would tip out these jars so water would flow down the stairs. And as the water's flowing down the stairs, Jesus is watching this happen. Jesus was not a guest speaker. Jesus didn't have a chair on the platform. Jesus did not have a book table in the foyer. Jesus was just sitting in the congregation just like you. But when Jesus saw this, and Jesus understood what it was, I had to have a drink. When Jesus saw that, he got so excited. And that would be just like somebody, I'm preaching, and somebody randomly comes running out of the congregation and says, listen, grabs the microphone, listen to me, if you're thirsty, come unto me and drink, and out of your innermost being, out of your belly, will flow rivers of living water. You'll be satisfied, you'll be connected with God, and out of the boom, the Holy Ghost is going to come in you, and rivers of life are going to flow out of the inside of you. So Desmond the usher came, put the guy in a headlock, gave the microphone back to Pastor Carl, said, hey buddy, don't do that again. But that's what happened. He rudely interrupted the whole thing. But he couldn't take it anymore. But look what it says. Look what it says. It says, but he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. Believing in him, those who believed in him, those who believed. And what do believers do? They get baptized in water. And what happens to believers after they believe in him? They will receive the Holy Spirit, the baptism. There's this threefold thing. But Jesus is so excited, he can hardly take it. He is a little early, he's a little ahead of the game, but he was talking about an experience that would take place after he ascended to the Father. Is anybody tracking with me? All right. Pino, say Pino. Say Grigio. You backslider. By God. P pino. Pino means to drink. Figuratively, it means to drink, to receive whatever serves to refresh, strengthen, or nourish. That's the word drink. You are in a drinking relationship with God. Amen. I am in a drinking relationship with God. It wasn't my idea, it's His idea. But what He's saying is I want you to live in a continuous experience of drinking. I want you to continuously be taking in my life. I want you to be in a continuous relationship where you are living, walking every day, the Spirit of God animating who you are. You are in a continuous, constant drinking relationship with God. He is the source of refreshing. He is the source of power. He is the source of the vibrance in your life because you're drinking huge drafts of Him every moment of your life. Thank you for the three excited people. Amen. John 7:37, come to me and drink. 1 Corinthians 12:13, the Apostle Paul, baptized and by baptized, united together into one body and all made to drink of the Holy Spirit. Say made. See, my kids say, I'm not eating my peas. Yes, you are. Eat those peas. No, I'm not eating them. Then I grab the spoon, open their mouth, say, eat your peas. Never did that. I'm a very kind father. But you know, there's a difference between offering a drink and there's a difference between made to drink. Listen, folks, for you to exist in the Spirit, for you to exist with God, you got to be in a continuous drinking relationship with the Holy Ghost. Please, your enthusiasm, again, my God. Just how many people are so excited you can barely talk? Oh, man, I'm telling you. Just so good. Ephesians 5:18, it says, do not drink too much wine. You can have some wine. I told Cheryl, just some. Amen. Not picking on Cheryl, but she's not here, so I can pick on. It doesn't say don't drink any wine. It says don't drink too much wine. That cheapens your life. But drink the Spirit of God. Drink huge drafts of Him. Instead, let the Holy Spirit fill and control you. Be ever filled and stimulated by the Holy Ghost. Can I get an amen? All right, look at this fella. This fella. You see this guy right here? Who knows who that is? It's Lawrence of Arabia. Do you remember Lawrence? How many remember Lawrence? How many related to Lawrence? Okay. Lawrence of Arabia was a guy who in World War I, he was there. He was a leader in the army, the UK army. And he went and he led a bunch of Arab-related people who would ride camels. And they fought against the enemies. And he trained this whole group of people. Now, after the war, he took these guys to France. And when they went to France, now these are guys who live in the desert. What is there not a lot of in the desert? Water. You're tracking. Not a lot of water. You find water, you got to keep that water. Water's precious in the desert. So here's these guys, never been out of the desert before. So they go out of the desert and they go into this hotel. When they go up in the hotel, the guy goes into his room and he looks and he goes into this place and there's these things and he pulls this tap and all of a sudden water comes out. He's going, and it just kept flowing. And he's like, I wonder when this will stop. And it just keeps flowing. He runs to his buddy's room. Hey, what are you doing? Come over here. He's same thing. He's over there. And he says, this thing never stops. It just keeps flowing with water. He says, watch this. He goes into the bathtub, turns on the bathtub faucet. Water's coming. He's going, this is amazing. I mean, this is amazing. You have water on demand. It just flows and flows. And they all gather in a room. They're watching it going, when will it stop? And they're going, it never stops. This is so amazing. So they're there spending time. But when it was time to go, they're down and they called them and said, come, the vehicles are ready. We got to leave. They were all, couldn't be found. And then when they went back to the rooms to find them, they had got wrenches from the maintenance guys and all of them were trying to pull the bathtub tap off the wall. Because they thought, I want to take this tap home. Because they thought the tap itself, just getting that. Imagine being able to walk around the desert with an unrestricted, unlimited flow of water. And they thought, we got to take this home with us. But they didn't understand what was going on. But here's the thing, folks. Here's the thing. You got the Holy Spirit. You got in you a river of living water. You have an unceasing flow of the very life of God in you every single day. Thank you, Sarah, for starting that resounding applause. Lawrence of Arabia, that's what that was all about. The Sahara Unveiled. The Sahara Unveiled talks about people who couldn't drink. And there's different stages of thirst. There's one called eudipsia, which is ordinary thirst. There's hyperdipsia, which is a temporary intense thirst. There's polydipsia, which is sustained excessive thirst, drives one to drink anything. There's uriposia, where you'll drink urine. And then there's hemoposia, where you cut your arms and you start to drink your blood. And thirst will drive you to incredible things. A person may only survive a few days without water. There's various factors involved, how much water they need. For this reason, it's not possible to tell precisely how long a person can live. But generally, it's only a couple days without water. Couple days. Signs of dehydration, extreme thirst, headaches, irritability. There's people who cause headaches in the body of Christ. And you know who they are? They're people who just quit drinking. So you know what you need? You need a big drink of the Holy Ghost. You got a spiritual headache. When I was preaching down in San Diego, while I was preaching, they put like five bottles of water on the pulpit. And I said, is the sermon going to be that long? This is a five bottle of water sermon. They said, you have no idea how dry it is here, and you're going to need that to keep preaching. He said, you can get dehydrated just preaching a sermon here because it's so dry. But sometimes you can get dry. It can lead to fatigue. It can lead to confusion, muscle cramps, dry mouth, lack of sweat, elevated heart rate, low blood pressure. I mean, being hydrated is a very, very important thing. And there's a lot of people that are barely spiritually alive because you're not drinking huge drafts of the Holy Spirit every single day. Psalm 46 verse 4 says, there is a river. There is a river. It's not a figurative thing. There really is. There is a river. That's what Jesus was excited about. They had a type and a symbol. But he said, there's really a river. There's a river of life. There's a river of the Spirit. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place, the tabernacle of the Most High God. Psalm 36, 7 and 9 says, how precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust in you. They live under the shadow of your wing. They're abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you shall give them. The word means you will make them to drink from the river of your pleasures, for you, with you is the fountain of life, and in you and in your light we see light. You are called into a drinking relationship with God. You are called to be inherently possessed by the Spirit of God. You are called to have that unceasing fountain in you that is bubbling up in your life and manifesting eternal life. Amen. Can I get an amen? All right. You and God are called in a drinking relationship. You really are. 1 Corinthians 12, 13. And all. Are you all here? All. You know what that means? It means all. Not one of you is left out. This is not something that is optional. This is not something. Well, I'm going to pass on that. You don't pass on this. It says you've all been called and made to drink of one Spirit. We have a powerful, continuous ministry of the Spirit of God to release His favor. Vitals for releasing the Holy Ghost. First, you got to receive. And number two, you got to release. The reason you got it is so you can give it away. That's what it's about. All right, here's the rivers. You ready? I'm going to give you some rivers. Just an example of the rivers. Number one, John 4, 24. God's Spirit is on those. And God is the Spirit. And those who worship must worship in spirit and in truth. I tell you, worship comes out of drinking of the Holy Ghost. I mean, you should be drinking of the Holy Ghost. I like looking at Rebecca up here. I sit here, she happens to be right in front of me, but she's happy. She looks like she's having a relationship with God. She looks like she's drinking and just enjoying the whole thing and just giving praise to God. I tell you, worship is a drinking experience. And when you're drinking rivers of worship, you cannot worship God in the flesh. It's in spirit and it's in truth. You cannot have a full, satisfying worship experience if you're not drinking of the river of His delights. You'll have rivers of supernatural worship, expressions by the Spirit of God. Worship, witness. It says, you shall have the power of the Holy Spirit come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. That word is literally martyrs. That word means to lay down your life. That means that you're going to go out there and you're going to serve others. You're going to love others. You're going to have a total new bent in your life, that others are important, to share the goodness of God, to give your life away and manifest the nature of Jesus everywhere you go. That happens when you get whacked and drunk in the Holy Ghost. He starts to take over, and suddenly you're no longer selfish and full of yourself. You suddenly want other people to experience the goodness of God, because there's rivers flowing out of you. There's rivers of ministry, it says, and these signs shall follow them who believe. If there's no signs, there may not be enough drinking. They look like they're drunk. They're not drunk as you suppose. But if they, when you're in a drinking relationship with the Holy Spirit, signs, wonders, miracles flow out of you like a river. They lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. There's rivers of gifts. 1 Corinthians 7, 12, 7, 11 says God's various gifts are handed out everywhere, and they all originate in God's Spirit. All kinds of things are handed out by the Spirit, and all kinds of people, and the variety of the gifts are wonderful. When you're drinking in the Holy Ghost, you're packing. You are a dispenser of heavenly favor. Drink, 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 drink. first service, they were a lot more excitable. Drink. Rivers of intercession. I love this. I tell you, I love this. It says in Romans chapter 8, 26 and 27, the Spirit himself makes intercession. Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the word of God, will of God. Intercession is you're here and what you desire is here. There's a gap. There's a difference. There's a lack. The Spirit makes intercession. The Spirit then takes what is missing and he brings it into manifestation. And he prays according to the will of God. So if you don't know what to pray and you're not sure what to do, but you need something to take place, thank God we are a tongue-talking church. It's all crazy. I tell you, it sounds weird when you hear people speaking in tongues. Who's he talking to? I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to God. It says when you're praying in tongues, you're praying to God. Are you ready? Not talking to you. But you know what? When I'm praying in tongues, I am declaring the will of God. I'm calling into manifestation the will of my Father. Isn't that exciting? I went to church and I heard somebody speak in tongues. That was crazy. There's a river of intercession that flows out of you. You keep drinking. You ever been out drinking with somebody and start to talk funny? Heard. Rivers of strength. Jude 20 says, build yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Man, if you need strength, if you feel a little down, if you feel a little defeated, you don't have to do all that. You know, I like to. But you know what? What did I just do? I jacked myself up in the Holy Ghost. I was doing some Holy Ghost barbells. It's in the Bible. Get over it. Don't get over it. Start to do it. 1 Corinthians 14:4. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. You need to build yourself up. There's strength. You let that river start to flow. There's strength. Rivers of fruitfulness. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Here's the one I love. I love this one. Suffering long. I turned it around just for emphasis, because long suffering sounds okay. Long suffering. But how about suffering long? I want that fruit. I want that one to be manifesting me a lot. Suffering long. What that means is you're willing to stand under a circumstance for a long, long time. You're willing to bear in situations that a normal person, that would bust them and break them. But you know what? I got the Holy Ghost in me. You know, I can endure a miserable situation no matter what, because the fruit of the Spirit's working in my life. And if I got something in my world that doesn't seem to shift and doesn't seem to change, that's okay, because I know God's going to bring it around. And I can suffer long in this circumstance. I want it now. It's not the fruit of the Spirit. Patience. I told the Lord if I wanted patience, I'd have been a dentist. Amen. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Oh, the fruit of the Holy Ghost. Drinking in that river. If you're not very kind, then get whacked in the Holy Ghost. If you don't have any friends, it's probably because you're miserable. Well, that wasn't very nice. Well, it says, he who would have friends must first show themselves friendly. If you're having a hard time being friendly, drink. Turn to your neighbor and say, drink. Turn to your neighbor and say, drink. Turn to your other neighbors, say, your breath smells. People aren't drinking the Holy Ghost, your whole spiritual experience starts to smell. You ain't been drinking the Holy Ghost, have you? Got a couple of smelly believers in here. Rivers of revelation. How many would like some revelation? It says the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. I'm telling you the truth here today. I'm telling you the absolute truth. We watch our doctrine and we keep it very, very clear and very pure. I'm saddened at some people who think they have doctorates and all kinds of things and they think the Holy Spirit's not for today. You should burn your doctorate because it's falsehood and it's nonsense. I don't care who gave it to you. Rivers of revelation, Father of glory, I pray that he may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and that the eyes of your understanding would be flooded with light. So when you get the Holy Spirit on you, it says, I will lead you into all truth. Man, you're not getting wisdom from here. You'll get wisdom from above. Wisdom that is pure and powerful and significant. I tell you, this is that. Is anyone thirsty? Is anyone lacking revelation, lacking power, lacking strength, lacking the anointing, lacking the gifts flowing in your life? Come to me and drink. Say drink. Say drink. Church does a lot of drinking over there. That's the way it's supposed to be. All right, my last one, say amen. Last one, Romans 15:13. Next week, we got a special guest speaker, a fellow named Mark Griffin. Mark is a significant prophet. You're going to enjoy Mark. Mark's going to be with us. And the week after that, let you know what's going on right now. The week after that, I'm preaching on joy. The whole sermon going to be on joy. Because some of you people, my goodness, you know, it says, in my heart, there rings a melody. But I think with some people, in their heart, there grows a lemon tree. Because my God, I need to see a little bit of joy in the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Amen. Anybody happy? Anybody feeling Jesus? Hey. The church is called the house of wine, the sweet intoxicating presence of Jesus. Jesus trying to find a happy place to pour out the blessing. And I tell you, joy is a big deal. There's going to be rivers of joy. Romans 15:13 says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and all peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 17, he said, Father, I'm about to go lay down my life for these folks. There's some things I want you to make sure that they have after I'm gone. He said, my joy, the joy that I have, I want my joy, and I want the fullness of it to fill every one of them. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord doesn't give you strength, it is your strength. The joy of the Lord, the anointing is called the oil of joy. I tell you, in the presence of the Lord, there are straitjackets and migraines and pain and suffering. No, it says in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. And how long? Forevermore. Forevermore. So we're going to get the place happy. Come on.